is the day which the Lord has made. We will.
I think this side kind of overwhelmed that side. I'm just saying, guys, okay? I was specifically listening for that. Maybe they didn't, but it was just equal, and it was in unity, and it was in harmony, so we're thankful for that. Amen? Well, yesterday, if you have your Bibles, actually, pull out your Bibles and turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 is where we'll be most of today. But yesterday was International Peace Day, designated by the United Nations. And there was a list, as I was studying for this, I looked and it said, oh, coming up in several weeks was the International Day of Peace, International Peace Day. And I was looking at different websites and said, things to do, and there was a list of 20 things to do on Peace Day. And way down at the bottom of the list, it said, read a book on peace. That's something you can do for Peace Day. And I thought, man, I'm so thankful that we all have opportunity to read a book on peace. And it's called the Bible. And it gives us opportunity in there. And it said some other things to write a letter and do different things. But way down at the bottom, read a book on peace. And I thought, this is our book on peace that we have that give us peace day in and day out. We don't have to wait for one day a year to atone or to find that peace. We find it every day. Every day we find that stuff. Again, we don't focus on that just one day a year. We may focus on other aspects of it on certain days of the year. But throughout the year, he says, man, this is the way I want you to live. It's good for us to have reminders throughout the year. That's why it tells us to renew our mind daily. Renew our mind daily. When we go to his word, it's to renew our mind. The minute we put this thing off is the minute we forget about it. We have phone training at my work, and we did it 4.5 years ago. We had a company come in, a professional company come in, and train us how to answer the phone and how to talk to customers on the phone. And then we have things we call technique of the week. Why do we have those? Because after a couple weeks of getting this training, we're going to forget it, and we're going to go back to our old ways. So tomorrow we're having a refresher course with that same company coming in. Why? So that we can maintain what we've already done. We could go through this Bible. Some of you have a reading plan that says go through the Bible in a year. We can go through this in a year. Then what do we do? Just take the rest of our life off? Say, yep, got it. Read it. No, we have to renew our mind daily. We have to keep coming back to this. And sometimes, as we found out so many times, and I know through our Wednesday night Bible study, through the different connect groups, we found out, oh my gosh, I have read that for years, and it has never come alive like it did today. It never made sense till Johnny or Jenny shared it in this way, or they revealed to me this is what it means to them. Renewing of the mind daily so that we can have these things. And it said also on that list, one of the things we can do, it said, say you're sorry. Boy, that's so hard to do. And it says, this is an opportunity for countries and nations and individuals to lay their weapons down. We may think, well, I don't have any weapons to lay down. I'm not at war. We're always at war with something, and our flesh, we're at war. Man, battling every day against sin. It's our sinful nature. So we have war every day, but we may not have to lay a weapon down. But one of the greatest weapons we have is our mouth. It can be used to build people up. It can be used to tear them down. It can be used to change their life forever for good or for evil. And that's one of the greatest weapons we have. We're in Colossians chapter 3. It's in the New Testament after Ephesians and Philippians. As you're turning there, I just wanted to read something out of John. And John 14 says this. He tells us in his word, John 14, 27. It says, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So do not be troubled or afraid. Oh man, how great is that? We can have all kinds of money. We can purchase all kinds of gifts for one another. The richest person in the world can give us anything we desire except only those things that God can give us. Peace I'm leaving you. Peace of mind, peace of heart. The peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. The richest person in the world cannot give any of you that gift of peace. And that money cannot buy you rest. Rest in Jesus Christ that only He can give you. No amount of sleep, no amount of money can purchase that rest and that peace that only He can give. But I love He takes it a step further. The world can't give this to you. So, church, you don't have to worry about it. Do not be troubled or afraid anymore. Nobody can give that to you. I can give that to you. Says Jesus, I can give that to you and me only. Now, Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read verse 1 through 17. And in verse 1 it says, since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. So put to death your sinful earthly things lurking within you. They're already inside of us, lurking about. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now, guys, now it is a new time. Now is the time to get rid of anger. Now is the time to get rid of rage. Now is the time to get rid of malicious behavior. Now is the time to get rid of slander and dirty language. Don't lie to one another, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. By the way, some of us have stripped off our old nature and kept some of our old stuff. We didn't want to strip down. Dwayne, how is that? You put that in our, what? Thank you. You know, we don't want to strip down naked before God and reveal who we really are to Him. I got news for you, church. He already knows. Us covering ourselves up with a fig leaf, He still knows who we are. He created us. He knows our innermost being. But it says, don't lie to one another, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. We'll come back to that. We'll come back to many of these things. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric or uncivilized, slave or free, man or woman, black or white, short or tall, fat or skinny, hairy or hairless. It doesn't matter to Him. I added those extra things. And I know His word says you don't have to add those. You can't add to it. But I'm just saying that He says none of this stuff, every one of us, look around, we're all different. He said it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since He chose you and I to be holy people, He loves us. We must clothe ourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Oh, this verse 13 is a toughie. Make allowance for each other's faults. Church, I'm begging you, make allowances for my faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Church, I'm asking you to forgive me when I offend you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in what? Not just in harmony, but in perfect harmony. I loved when we sang today, hearing the different voices harmonizing. What a beautiful, beautiful sound that is. When we all exist and work in harmony, what a beautiful sight that is to our Creator. Clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And, I thought it was interesting they added this, and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. When we come and praise and worship Him, do that with thankful hearts. The freedom to come in here and do this. You know, there's places in this world that they cannot gather together. And you know, when they sing, they want to sing out, but the neighbors may hear them. And if they do, they'll be in trouble. So when they sing, I'm sure it's pretty quiet. They can't do that. They can still have thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. That's a powerful statement right there alone. And whatever you do or say with that weapon that you have, which is your body and your mouth, whatever you do, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Oh my goodness. Whew. Think back a week. That may be a tough representation. Okay? It may be for some of us. But then it says, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. This scripture has so many things telling us how to live our lives in a godly manner. And it starts out just by helping us to understand that it is a new life for many of us. Now, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, but when you have obedience, that may be the new life that you're now starting. I've been a Christian for 20 years, but now I want to be an obedient one. So it's a whole new thing to me. Now, when you became a Christian, you began your new life. But this may be a starting point where you're trying to understand. And it tells us right there in verse 2, it says, think about these things. Which things? Think about the things of heaven. When we think, our mind should be on heaven and not here on earth, not worrying about earthly things. Think about heaven. We move on to verse 5, and it tells us, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. What do we have to do now? We have to do the things that He calls us to do, and that is put to death sinful and earthly things. Put those to death. I don't know why a lot of times we talk to our young people. Guys, you got to put those things to death before they take hold of your life. That's why we talk to our young people. Victoria says, I'm down here. Don't forget me. I'm a young person too. That includes you. I do. We're going to pray for Victoria after service, as a matter of fact, because she's honest enough just to share some things with me that she wants to be better and feel better about herself. And I love that opportunity as a child. And sometimes we don't always feel good about ourselves. The truth of a young person to say, I don't feel good about myself. And I want to feel better. And I want to know God. Oh, I love that. I love that. So now let's move on past our young people. And I'm just going to throw the rest of us older folks in that group, okay? Put to death your sinful in earthly ways. That's the rest of us. We just try and warn our teens not to get in the same ruts we got ourselves in. So that's why a lot of times, young people, don't do what I did. Be different. And hurry up and be different so you don't get to be like me. That's why we go to our young people. But for the rest of us, the same holds true. Verse 9, I love verse 9 down here. It says, don't lie to each other. So what do we have to do? Put to death sinful earthly ways. What don't we have to do? Don't lie. Don't lie to one another. For you have stripped off your old and sinful nature and all that is wicked. But I love this in verse 10. And verse 10 tells us to put on something. And it says, put on your new nature. Wow. It doesn't say put on a new man. Other places the Bible say put on a new man. This says put on the new nature. Oh, this goes to our character now. And now when God starts talking about our character, we think, uh-oh, he's getting really close to me. He's talking about character and what I do when I'm not around other people. That's where our true character is revealed a lot of times, when we're alone. Put on your new nature. But I love it. It says, be renewed as you learn. As we spend Sunday mornings in here, in Sunday school, in worship service, in Wednesday night Bible studies. Wednesday night Bible studies. Where's Colton? There, I was going to say, I saw him. Colton has showed up this Sunday, guys. And I'm going to make it a point just to embarrass him to no end. I'm kidding. Colton was working the last couple weeks when I called on him. But Colton is getting ready to take on the new college age group at Prayer of Faith on Wednesday nights. Let's give it up for Colton. But that's a new group that we can now reach. He's going to do that with the help of Aaron. And maybe the little one too. So, yes. Aaron and the little one possibly. Probably. Let's just go there. Okay. And it says, be renewed as you learn. Colton, as they learn, they should be renewed. Be renewed. Why? To know your Creator. Be renewed so you can know your Creator. Why do you want to know your Creator? It says, so you can be like Him. Dear Lord, that's a mighty big thing. Now I've got to be Christ-like? Yeah. That's the whole purpose of this thing. To remind us what Christ is like and how He handled situations. And to give us the strength so we can do those things. Verse 13, well, verse 12 says, since God chose you, He chose you to be a holy people. And He loves you. But it says, because of that, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Sounds a lot like the fruit of the Spirit. Clothe yourself with those things. Verse 13, make allowance for each other's faults. Now, why do we do this? We do this because we make mistakes. We err. We don't think. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but has anyone ever opened their mouth without thinking and gone, I shouldn't have said that? Yeah. I'll raise my hand. How's that? As a representation of the church body, yes, we have done that, okay? But let's think about that. Make allowance for each other's faults. We don't slow down. We don't talk about that a whole lot. We can skip over this thing a lot of times without giving much attention. But this really stood out. And maybe it's because I make a lot of mistakes. I'm asking for a lot of forgiveness. I don't know. Maybe it's because my version states it a little differently and it stood out a little more. But it tells us right here, make allowance for that. Give them a break. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Unforgiveness is a sin. And I don't think we have much opportunity to stand before God asking Him to forgive us when we have failed to forgive others. Now, this isn't the point in time in our Christian faith to be a baby about it and say, well, they didn't forgive me, so I'm not going to forgive them. Yep, just keep on going down the wrong path. And that's why you're going to go in that big wide open gate, but it's going somewhere different than the narrow gate. Okay? That's why there's less people going in that narrow gate. Because they only want to forgive when someone has forgiven them. I tell people all the time, ask someone to forgive you, and if they don't, it is on them. Boom, wipe the dust off your sandals and move on. Do not hold that against yourself. Don't hold it against them. That's their ignorance or their spiritual immaturity or whatever it is that is now on them. You've asked them to forgive you. You have gone through those steps. Wipe your hands, move on, and for goodness sakes, do not let that set on your shoulder and carry that weight around. Make allowances for other people's faults. Verse 14 tells us, above all, clothe yourselves with love. Why love? Because love covers a multitude of sins. God's word tells us that. Love is throughout the Bible. We talked about it a couple weeks ago in Bible study. I talked about it since then. Oh my gosh, there's a whole lot of requirements in this love thing that I've got to love others. Oh goodness. Not only that, but I've got to love them as myself. So now there's an additional requirement. It was bad enough I had to love other people, but now I've got to love them as I love me. And if I don't love myself, that's going to be tough. We have to learn to embrace ourselves and love ourselves. But also to understand, I was going to say, love ourselves for who we are. That's a great starting place, but also for who God wants us to be, always working for how He wants us to be more Christ-like, as He mentions here. Oh, good Lord. Now He's added, I've got to love my enemy. Okay? I've got to love others. Love them as myself. Now you've added in enemies. The list goes on and on, Lord. When will it end? When you've loved everyone. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together. And it binds us in perfect harmony. It says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Guys, this is a book about peace that I'm going to recommend you read for Peace Day. This one right here. And it's throughout the Old and the New Testament. I was going to read a psalm this morning. I thought, I didn't want to do that. There were so many. It's like, where do I go and what do I pick? But one of the things I looked at said, man, you will find rest in His peace. And only there can you find safety. Only in His peace, when you rest in His presence, can you find safety. That was in Psalm 4. So why do we want to all be together in perfect harmony? Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace. And always be thankful. We're called to be peacemakers. He said, blessed is a peacemaker. When possible, live in peace and find peace. Be peaceable among the brethren. Constantly throughout the Old and New Testament, living in peace, be the peacemaker. Be peaceable when you have opportunity to do so. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your life. Let it occupy your life. And in the very beginning, where it said in verse 2, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. The things of earth tend to occupy our life. What shall I do? Who shall I do it with? Where shall I go? Who should I go with? What shall I buy? How will I buy it? What? All the decisions of earth. And it says, man, think about things of heaven. Focus on those things. While we have necessities here, don't give a ton of effort to those things. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom he gives. Colton, Aaron, when you take on the college group, and other groups are already doing that, but when you take them on, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. And in verse 17, he says, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. As we talk about laying down our weapons, or as they talk about that yesterday for International Peace Day, we have our own weapons we have to lay down. And for each one of us, it's different. It could be a list of things. It could be you snapping back without thinking, opening our mouth without thinking. It could be grumbling. It could be complaining. It could be just fighting with everybody about everything. It could be about pride. It could be about selfishness. It could be all kinds of these things. But in Colossians 3, he says, this is how I want you to live. Why? Because I want you to be my representative, and I want you to represent me very well when you go out there in the world. Please don't say you're a Christian and go out there and treat people like dirt. Please don't say I am a Christian and go out there and cuss like a sailor. Please, I'm sorry if anyone's a sailor in here. I'm using that phrase. Please don't go out there in the world and say I am a Christian and whine and complain and argue and cheat and steal and lie and deceive others. Because Jesus says that is a poor representation of me. And you're going to have to stand before my Father someday and say, why did you represent my Son this way? I gave you the tools. What did you do with them? I left them in the rusty toolbox with the other rusty tools. And didn't use them much. And when I needed them, they were ineffective because I didn't know how to use them. And they weren't ready for me to use. And I didn't know how to handle them. We'll close with this from Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. He said, now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. And I thought, how great is that? May the Lord of peace himself, the Prince of peace himself, give you his peace at all times. Guys, that means whatever situation we are facing, he says, at all times, you have my peace. I'm the Prince of Peace, and I am giving it to you to have at all times, no matter what you go through. At all times, and in every, not most, in every situation, the Lord be with you all. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, the Prince of Peace. Lord, we thank you for what he's done for us. We thank you for the peace that he has given us, that only he can give. Lord, we ask that in every situation and at all times, we can have that peace. Lord, we pray that we don't just find that peace once a year on a special day, but throughout the week we reflect back on that. We reflect on our actions. and that you transform us day in and day out. Draw us closer to each other and closer to you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.